And welcome to the School Success Formula, episode number 10. Today, I'm going to be talking about the ultimate guide to the academic year and what parents like you should expect and when and why. So the reason why I'm doing this podcast is that I think it's really good to have a kind of overview of how the academic year works and what you should be expecting to happen so that you're fully prepared for those kind of things. I also wanted to talk about this today because we're about to start a new academic year, and I also get lots of questions from parents asking me things like, would this be a good time to take my child on holiday, what about this time, and all this kind of thing, asking for my opinion about those kind of things. And I just want to give this overview of the academic year so you can see when the opportunities are in the school year to take your children away without it negatively impacting their education or their results if they're in exam years, but also so that you are fully prepared for this upcoming academic year. Okay, let's dive in. So I think probably what I should say as well before we start off is that not all schools are going to have the same academic year or school year structure. So particularly in the last few years, as academies and free schools have opened, a lot of them follow a completely different calendar from the traditional structure of an academic year. So they will do something quite different. But I'm sure if your children are being educated in those kind of schools, you're fully aware of the differences in structure. The other thing I should say is that with schools that do follow a more traditional school year of kind of six half terms with a 2-week Christmas holiday, a 2-week Easter holiday and a 6-week summer holiday, some of the details will be different. So this, what I'm going to share with you today is broadly what happens in all schools across the country. It's the kind of normal pattern, but you will have to check with your child's individual schools to fully understand exactly how they structure their school year. And they will share details as they go through the year, but if you can get an understanding of what will happen and when early on in the school year, that will enable you to plan family life so that your child is able to excel and reach their full potential in their education. So I'm going to share this with you going through term by term or half term by half term. So there's the six half terms in the school year, starting in September, which is traditionally the start of the school year in the UK. And I'm also going to be taking each holiday in turn. So we'll go through from September until the summer holiday in order. And I'll be talking about the opportunities for you and the things that should be happening at each stage. Also, at the end of the episode, I'm going to share with you how I'm able to help you with some of these things, and also a new opportunity of a different way of working with me, which I'm going to be launching for this September. Okay, off we go. So term one starts in September and goes through until October half term. And term one is all about settling into a new routine and setting up systems and processes that will serve your child for the rest of the school year. So this is the time to really be thinking about time management. So how are they going to structure their independent study time outside of school? And so they're getting enough homework done and enough extra reading and revision and all that kind of thing done outside of school hours, but also processes like planning processes, like do they have a planner or do they use their smartphone to plan their time and remember appointments and deadlines and all that kind of thing, as well as good habits. So implementing good habits that are going to support their achievement throughout the school year. The thing that will really be really helpful at this time of year is making your making sure that your child has clarity about why they're studying and what their studies are leading towards. So particularly at GCSE, there can be a disconnect between the subjects your child is having to study in the broad programme of education that everyone has to do at this level, and actually what they want to do in the future. So I'll give you an example. One of my coaching clients, he's a GCSE student, and he loves subjects like maths and physics and electronics, and he has a really keen interest in computer coding. However, he's also studying a language which he really, really struggles with, both in terms of like his natural kind of aptitude for it and his motivation to do well in the subject. However, it's important for him to understand, and if your child is in a similar situation where they have a set of subjects which they're really strong in and really interested in, and then some subjects which are less interesting to them and they have less natural aptitude for, then actually universities, particularly at GCSE level, are looking for a broad general standard across all the subjects that your child is studying. And I've seen in recent years rejections from universities simply because there was a kind of a C or a D or even a B in one single subject. I'm particularly thinking about Oxbridge there, but as academic attainment increases and increases, it becomes even more important that there isn't that 1 week subject or maybe 2 week subjects that are letting down the general trend or the general standard that your child is achieving. So it's really important that they understand what universities will be looking for, or if what employers will be looking for if they're more likely to be going straight into the working world from school. You know, what kind of general standard that they are looking for, and therefore what grades they are hoping to attain in all the subjects that they're studying across the board. So here's some action steps for what everyone should be doing in term one. So the first thing is to clarify motivation, what your child's specific motivation is for studying at this particular level, whether that's GCSE level in year 10 or year 11, or A levels in year 12 or year 13. And there's some really helpful exercises for going through understanding what their motivation is in chapter one of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take, which you can get on Amazon, or if the easiest thing to do is come to my website, the show notes for this episode, which is lifemoreextraordinary.com/10. That's where you'll find the show notes, and there's links throughout the show notes to the book there. Okay, so that's action step one, clarifying their motivation. Action step two for term one is starting to put in place systems and processes that will support their studies. So this is things like having a consistent organisation system, such as a planner, or setting intentions about how much time they will set aside for studying and establishing some good habits at this stage. So it's really all about systems and routines, and you can get more info, really detailed information about how to do all of that kind of thing in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take. Okay, so that's all about term one. Moving on to October half term. In the context of the entire school year, apart from the summer holiday, I think that October half term is the very best time to have a family holiday. So if you're looking at the school year and thinking about when you'd like to book a holiday, and maybe trying to book outside of the peak season of the summer holiday, October half term is the time we'll have the least negative impact on your child's education. So I highly recommend looking at that as a time to go abroad or even stay in the UK for your child's holidays. So in order to really enjoy this half term, students should make sure that they're fully on top of all their schoolwork and homework by the time this half term starts, and then they can basically take the whole week off and really enjoy it and make the most of it. The reason why I'm saying this is because this is well before revision for any kind of exams will really need to take place. There might be kind of small tests and things taking place at this point in the school year, which your child will want to revise for, but there won't be mocks, there won't be any kind of external exams at this point in time. So going away and taking a proper holiday at this time of year will have the least negative impact on your child's education. Okay, term two, which starts kind of end of October, beginning of November, and runs through until the Christmas holidays. In this term, your son or daughter should really be into the swing of things for the academic year. They should have established their routines and work schedules. They should have formed good relationships with their teachers and just be getting their head down and getting on with the work. But of course, Christmas happens in December, and all the Christmas activities that happen in schools and outside of schools can be quite disruptive to work routines and habits. And it's really worth just being very aware of that at this point in time, because the routines and habits, good study habits that your son or daughter has put into place through the term one and then into term two, they can be at risk in this term. And it's just being aware that that is a risk, and that they should kind of put steps in place to kind of mitigate that risk. So for example, if they have a Christmas concert one week or one evening of the week, when are they going to replace the study time that they've missed because they were doing that Christmas concert? And really being very, very mindful about that. You know, are you making decisions about catching up during the Christmas holidays, or are you going to do it at the weekend? Basically, how are you going to cope with all that kind of thing? So if your son or daughter has mocks after the Christmas holidays, they should also be starting to think about revision during December. And this can be really difficult, and it's really tricky. I think a lot of schools schedule mock exams, particularly for GCSEs and A-levels for year 11 and year 13, in that term immediately after the Christmas holidays. And it can make December and all the Christmassy stuff and the Christmas holiday quite tricky for families, because their young people should be focusing on revision at those times when there's all this other distracting and fun stuff going on. So just be really, really mindful of that. Some schools might think ahead and think they don't want to be ruining families' Christmas holidays by holding mocks in January. So they might also hold mocks in this term, particularly for year 11s who are doing their GCSEs. So you will have to check with your child's school on their specific calendar, but I found that the majority of schools do hold mocks after the Christmas holidays. So during December, students in year 11 and year 13 will be having to start think about their revision. Okay, so action steps for term two. Number one is to consistently use the routines and good study habits established in term one, which you will read more and learn about more in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of my book. And during December, start revision if your child has mocks straight after the Christmas holidays. Okay, so we're moving on to the Christmas holiday now. Of course, as a family, you'll want to enjoy the festive season together. However, if your child has mocks in January or February, then they will need to be using the freedom of the holiday to do some concentrated revision for each of their subjects. So the opportunities for fully independent study, where your young people set their own timetable for study and follow their own natural rhythms of whether they're a lark or an owl, or whether, you know, they work best in the mornings and the evenings and need time off in the afternoon. There's actually very limited opportunities to have this freedom for study during the school year. And the Christmas holiday is probably the first time when they'll start experimenting with this kind of thing. And particularly if they do have mocks in the term that comes up after the Christmas holidays. So the action steps for the Christmas holiday are: number one, to revise for mocks if you have them after Christmas. Number two, work on any homework or coursework that has been set that the teachers would like you to get done before the new term starts. And number three is to eat lots of mince pies. I love mince pies and love December and Christmas because of the number of mince pies that are available. Okay, that's just a silly one. Term number three, that's January and February. So for year 11s and year 13s, there will be a huge focus on mocks during this term. For students in year 10 and year 12, they should continue to work hard through this term using their established routines and habits. So mocks and the feedback students get as a result of taking the mocks are a great way to reignite good intentions, as well as to shine a light on the areas where students really need to focus in the coming months. Basically the danger areas, so their weaknesses. And mocks are a great way to highlight those weaknesses and give you a way of prioritising and focusing on the areas you need to revise more in depth in the coming month. It's also worth saying at this point in time that I always found this term in January and February the hardest of the academic year to get through. And I know I'm not alone in saying that. I can remember when I was a teacher in the classroom, lots and lots of teachers used to struggle with this. And, you know, the energy of the students and the teachers used to get quite low. I think it's because of the dark mornings and the dark evenings and no longer having Christmas to look forward to, but also the kind of imperative of the exams still being 4 or 5 months away. It's really, really tough to keep the motivation and energy levels up at this time of year. I've never found a solution to this kind of lull that you get at this time of year, but I think just being aware of it is really helpful and knowing that it's kind of normal and that it will get easier as the mornings and the evenings get lighter and exams get closer and therefore, you know, it's more urgent to be focusing on studies. So if that is experienced in your household, just know that you're not alone and that you will kind of get your mojo back as time moves on, basically. So action steps for term three. Number one, revise for and take mock exams if that's applicable to you. Then number two, get detailed feedback on performance in mocks and use it to create a targeted revision strategy going forward. So I think the reason that mocks is so helpful is that it, like I've already said before, it shines a light on where you need to focus that attention. So make sure that your son or daughter, or if you're a student and you're listening, you get that really, really detailed feedback on your mock exam papers and really understand what you did well and so what you should repeat in future and what you weren't doing quite so well and how you can improve on that going forwards. And that can really inform the revision strategies that you use in the coming weeks and months. And then number three, the third action step for term three, is to keep focused on the work routines and good habits already established, or to re-establish them if they've slipped a bit over the Christmas holidays and during the upheaval of Christmas in December. Okay, the next thing is February half term. Now, February half term is the time when revision for exams should really begin in earnest. It may seem like May or June are still a very long way away. However, now that most schools offer very, very limited exam leave to their students, there is very little time in the school year when students can set their own schedule for revision and really explore the way they work independently. So I think February half term should really be used for focusing on those areas highlighted during mocks as being a weakness and really zoning in on those and almost planning out the revision strategy for the term to come, which, you know, revision starts in February half term, but it continues throughout the weeks and months up until exams are finished. So action steps for February half term are to, during this half term, it would be a great idea to focus on the areas of weakness identified during mock exams. But students, this is action step number two, students should also relax and take a break to a certain extent, as the pressure, particularly for students in exam years, is only going to increase from this point forwards. And it's just so important to kind of take that break so that they don't burn out as they get towards exams. Because a lot of students do get really, really tired and really burnt out, and they even start getting ill during exam season because they've pushed themselves too hard in the run-up to exam season. So use February half term for revision, but don't crack the whip, kind of get started, but do it in a kind of measured and quite a restful way. I do have a blog post all about what students should be doing in February half term to really boost their grades, and that's linked to in the show notes, which you'll find at livemoreextraordinary.com/11. Oh, not 11, sorry, 10. But this post is called 11 Things Why Students Do at Half Term to Boost Their Grades. So you can have a look at that, and there's lots of good information in there, and that's been very popular on Twitter. It's been retweeted lots and lots and lots of times. Okay, term number 4, this runs from after the February half term until the Easter holidays, whenever Easter happens to fall in the particular year that you're listening to this. And just for your information, if you're listening after this has been published, it was published in August 2017. So term 4, this is when the academic year starts getting really serious. Students in exam years should be doing some revision every single day from this point forwards. Their priority should still be the homework set in class, as courses will still be being taught at this point in time. But revision must also be part of every student's study time if they're serious about getting decent grades. So courses are generally stopped being taught around Easter time. If teachers have paced it well, they'll probably finish either a week before or a week after the Easter holidays. So that new content that is being delivered in class and the homework that supports that should be the priority still at this point in time. But students should also be fitting a minimal amount of revision in every single day, just so that they're kind of building that momentum towards revision season, so that they're not starting from a standing start during the Easter holidays. So action steps for term 4 are to firstly prioritise homework, and secondly to do some revision every day. And it can only be a tiny amount. And I've got a blog post called the 5-Minute Revision Challenge, which you can Google, and that will come up, I think, top of Google search if you Google the 5-Minute Revision Challenge. Or it's linked to in the show notes that are at livemoreextraordinary.com/10. So even if it is only 5 minutes of revision a day, doing things like learning formulae, revising quotes in English, I've got a good post on that as well about how to revise quotes for your closed book English exam, which you can Google, and I think that comes up top of Google search. All those kind of things, they're really helpful things to be doing, because that's the kind of stuff that kind of needs to be committed to long-term memory, and a small amount of revision on a consistent basis makes a really, really big difference. Okay, now we've got to the Easter holidays, and as most schools have taken away exam leave in preparation for exams, they usually give exam leave while students are actually taking exams, but they don't have a week or so before the exams of independent study time to prepare for the exams. The Easter holidays are the longest concentrated stretch of time in which students can prepare for the exams to come. So this is the time when they can set their own priorities based on the weaknesses that they've identified in their knowledge and understanding. And if you're not sure how to identify weaknesses, you should have a look at chapter 8 of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take, which is linked to you from the show notes. Or you can download an extract of chapter 8 for free, and I give this chapter away for free so people can just sample what the book is like, and you can download that from my website. Just go to livemoreextraordinary.com/free-chapter, or you can just click on the link in the show notes in the Easter holiday section to download that specific chapter, and that will help you with a system to identify your strengths and weaknesses so that you know where to focus your revision, because you can't afford to have weaknesses when you walk into the exam hall. During these 2 weeks, it's very important to set a sustainable study routine. So during the Easter holidays, it's common for highly motivated students to set a very, very high work rate in the first few days. And what happens is that they tend to end up exhausted and then beating themselves up because they're not able to maintain that work rate. But then for less motivated students, they probably don't make a start or they're not doing enough. So my advice to everyone, whether they're highly motivated or really unmotivated, is to set a consistent study routine which seems realistic to them. So for a highly motivated student, that might be 6 hours a day, well spread out across the day between the morning, afternoon and the evening. For a really unmotivated student, you might be looking at an hour and a half to 3 hours in a day, but it's something that is achievable for them to do and that they are able to sustain over the length of the Easter holidays. Because if they can't, the most important thing I always say about preparing for exams is to be consistent. And so it's much better to do an hour and a half every day of the Easter holidays than 10 hours a day for the last 2 days of the Easter holidays, because you're going to get much more productive work, much more effective work done if you work for a shorter amount of time each day on a consistent basis than just kind of cramming right at the end. If you'd like more info on what to do in the Easter holidays and how to put the Easter holidays to best use, I've got a blog post on that as well, and that's linked to in the show notes. So, action steps for the Easter holidays. Number one is to have a clear focus on independent revision. So, it's all about revision by this point in time. Number two is to complete any homework tasks set by school. Hopefully, homework tasks based on the continuing teaching of the courses are really diminishing by this point of time. But if there are any homework tasks, then you need to make sure that they're done. Number three is start working on past papers in earnest using the revision power hour technique, which I have linked to in the show notes as well. And it's hugely popular. It's, I think, one of my most popular blog posts of all time. It's been shared more than any other. And it makes a massive difference to students and their achievement in exams. Number four is set a sustainable and consistent work routine so students don't burn themselves out or turn themselves off the revision process. So this is really, really important. We don't want burnout and we don't want demotivated students because they're trying to do more than their kind of motivation enables them to do, if that makes sense. And then number five, take some time out to rest and increase energy levels for the exam period to come. So every day there should be something that your son or daughter enjoys during Easter holidays, whether that's just going out for a run or to the gym for an hour or watching a movie to reward themselves at the end of the day. You know, there should be some aspect of real life and maintaining their interests and their personality, really, the kind of things that they like to do, so that they don't get burnt out and they don't get exhausted and they remain themselves. I think a really common thing during exam periods and working really, really hard is that you almost forget who you are because you're not doing any of the things that you're interested in outside schoolwork. So just kind of bear that in mind during the Easter holidays. So we're on to term five now, which starts in April and continues through until the May half term. So during this term, students will start to sit written exams. Some oral and practical exams may have taken place before the Easter holiday, but this is when written exams start. And there's usually a 7 or 8 week period over which written exams take place, with the May half term stuck there in the middle. GCSE exams will usually start slightly earlier than A-level exams. So this term is all about revision and also prioritising what to revise based on which exams are when. So it's heads down time, big style. when I say prioritise what to revise based on which exams are when, so for example, you might have all your English exams after the May half term. So you maybe want to leave it till May half term to do the bulk of your English revision. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing any now, but it's just about staggering the revision so that you're focusing on the right subjects in the right order so that you're fully prepared for each exam as they come along. So the action steps for term five are number one, revise. Number two, revise. Number three, revise. Number four, I think you get it by now, is to revise. So it is just about revision and doing the kind of revision activities that work for you and are going to see you fully prepared for the exams coming up. And you can learn more about how to plan revision and how to keep going with it in steps 8 and 9 of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take. And then step 10 shows you how to prepare for exams in the last few days of the exam. So how to prepare in the week before an exam, how to prepare in the last 24 hours, all that kind of thing, and how to stay strong and all that kind of stuff. Okay, now we're on to May half term, and by this time students will have taken some written exams and there may be even some subjects which they have finished so they can forget about them, maybe forever. So this term, half term is very much like the Easter holidays. Students will undoubtedly be getting both very tired and very bored of revision by this point in time. Therefore, at the beginning of the week, it is a good idea to take 1 or 2 whole days off. So they just kind of replenish and rejuvenate all that energy that has gone into exams. And exams are exhausting. They're really focused. They take, you know, you get a huge release of adrenaline, which always makes you tired afterwards. And so everyone should be expecting for your son or daughter to be tired, particularly in those first couple of days of the May half term, and to make allowances for that. After that, they need to get back to the revision so that they can finish exam season strong. They will have learned a lot about how they work independently during the Easter holidays, so use those learnings now to have a really successful week of revision. So it's back to independent revision and, you know, supporting your child to work in the way that works best for them. So think back to what worked in the Easter holidays, even February half term and the Christmas holidays, and make sure you're doing the things that worked and ditching the things that didn't at this point in time, because this is kind of your last chance to do really high quality revision. So the action steps for May half term are to firstly take 1 or 2 whole days off to properly relax, rest and recuperate from the exams that have already been taken. And number two, to revise much as you did during the Easter holidays. Okay, we're on to term 6 now, which is the final term of the school year and happens in June and July. So this term for years 11 and 13 will be about finishing their formal external examinations. Students in year 10 may well have internal exams to assess their progress at this point in the year, and students in year 12 may be taking AS exams. So years 11 and 13, their focus will be completely on exams, but years 10 and 12 might have some exams in there depending on how your child's school manages it and whether year 12s are dropping a subject at the end of year 12 and taking an AS exam to kind of get a grade for that subject for that year. For students in year 12, once they've taken any AS exams, their attention should be focused on UCAS personal statements. So this is if they want to apply to university and are going to have to go through the UCAS process. So it's a great time to audit all the things they've done up until now for their personal statement and to make plans to fill in any missing gaps over the summer holidays. So they should really look back at all the further reading they might have done, any courses they've done, summer schools, out-of-school activities, work experience, paid work, all that kind of stuff that they might have done up until now, and kind of write it all down so they know what they've got to write about on their personal statement. and then make plans to kind of fill in the gaps. So this will ensure that they're in a very strong position to write their personal statement and submit it in the early weeks of year 13. And it's really important, I think, to get that personal statement submitted as soon as possible in year 13, once UCAS applications open, because UCAS can be a real distraction from actually doing the work for the courses so that your son or daughter actually gets the grades. To help you with this kind of UCAS planning process, I've got a free resource, which is a UCAS checklist and plan, which I've linked to in the show notes. And basically, it's just a kind of grid where you can write down the things that they've done already in terms of work experience and further reading, and then create a plan going forward for what they're going to do over the summer holidays to fill in the gaps. And that's a really useful resource that lots of students have really enjoyed. So, action steps for term six. Firstly, take the exams if you're taking any. Number two, do an exam season review. And this is a really nice activity. I do it with all my one-to-one coaching clients, is actually looking back over revision season and exam season and identifying what went well, what didn't go well, and what they would change next time around. And there's an outline of how to do that process in chapter 10 of my book. But it's well worth doing, because particularly if you're in year 10, 11 or 12, you can review over that exam season and make the next exam season even better than the one that's just gone. So you're basically learning from your mistakes or things that didn't go so well. And so you can become even better at revising year by year by year. And then thirdly, for year 12 students and even highly motivated and organised year 11 students, they should do a UCAS audit and make plans for things like further reading, work experience and summer schools during the summer holidays. So this is really important. I can't emphasise it enough. If your child is wanting to go to university, this upcoming summer holiday should be all about kind of ticking the boxes as far as UCAS personal statements are concerned. So they've got something really solid and interesting to write about. And this term is the last chance to plan those things in. But for highly motivated year 11s who already know what they want to study at university, they can start doing these things as well, and that will take the pressure off in the summer of year 12 and just kind of allow for a longer run-up to the UCAS personal statement process. So finally, we're on to the final stage of the school year, which is the summer holidays. So the summer holidays are really about resting and having fun. This is the freest time of all the free time that your child will get during the school year. And I talked in detail about what students should do during the summer holidays in podcast episode 5, which was called What Should Your Teen Do in the Summer Holidays? And I've linked to that in the show notes, and you can also find it at lifemoreextraordinary.com/5. However, students in year 12 will need to be doing some constructive stuff during the summer holidays, as I've already hinted at. So they should be working on their EPQ and putting the final pieces in place for writing their personal statement. Students in year 10 may well need to work on coursework or homework set over the summer holidays, and highly motivated year 11s who know what they want to study at university should also be taking steps towards their UCAS personal statement. So I've broken down the action steps for the summer holidays according to the year group. So number one, year 10s should be doing coursework and homework. Year 11s should be getting ahead with their UCAS personal statement, e.g. doing work experience, further reading, attending summer schools, courses or conferences, that kind of thing. Year 12s should be doing their EPQ, work experience, further reading, summer schools, all that kind of stuff. And year 13s should be chilling out, relaxing, preparing to go to university and maybe doing a job so they've got some extra funds to help them get through university. And finally, year 11, year 12, if they've done ASs, and year 13 should be collecting their exam results. Fingers crossed they do well. Finally, in conclusion, I really hope that has helped you to gain an understanding of the overall shape of the school year. I think the kind of thing I want to leave you with is that at the beginning of the school year, it's just about getting your head down and learning the stuff that your child is being taught. But as the year progresses, the balance of independent study time will shift from purely to be doing homework and maybe some extra reading around the edge to actually incorporating some revision. So that might start in December if your children have got mocks in December or January or February. And then that revision, you know, it might start at just 5 minutes a day, or, you know, it might some of the time be an hour a day or half an hour a day, but some of the time just be 5 minutes a day. But basically the emphasis on revision increases as you go through the school year and you move further and further towards exams. And everyone should be starting to revise by February half term. So the best times to take holidays during the school year are during the summer holidays, most definitely, and then in October half term. Now there may be times and reasons that you just can't avoid taking your family away at other times of the school year, but if you can stick to the summer holidays in October half term, that's going to help your child to really keep on track and do their very best in the exams that they're taking in that particular academic year. So I really, really hope that's been interesting for you. And if you've got comments or questions about any of it, then please come and ask them. Either on Twitter, you'll find me at Lucy C. Parsons, or come along and join the Supportive Parents Successful Students Facebook community, where I'm always really, really happy to hear from parents. And it's a really lovely, supportive community of parents in there who are all going through the same kind of thing. So it is a place where you can come along and have a whinge and a moan if that's what you need to do, or just celebrate success and get advice both from me and other parents who are going through the same thing. Now, before you go today, I just wanted to let you know that if all this sounds really overwhelming to you because you're not an educational professional, or because it's just so long since you were in school yourself, there are ways that I can give you more help if that's what you would like. So the easiest way to do that is to get a copy of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take, which is linked to from my website. You can buy it on Amazon. So grab yourself a copy of that. And what's really important, if you do get a copy of that, is to read each chapter in turn and do the exercises. So I created a downloadable workbook that goes with the book itself. And to get the most out of the book, your child should be doing the exercises that are in the workbook as well. The exercises are outlined in the book itself, but there's spaces and, you know, well-designed places for them to complete the exercises in the downloadable workbook. And the workbook's for free, so you'll get the URL when you get a copy of the book, where you can sign up to get the workbook emailed to you for free. So the second thing you might be interested in, if you'd like a bit more help in getting your child through the school year, is to sign up for one of my one-to-one study skills coaching packages. And this is where I work one-to-one with students to make sure they've got the right study skills and attitude to get the grades they're capable of. So I've got two main ways that you can work with me from the beginning of the school year. One is a six-week coaching programme, which I just kind of go through how to actually study. And I give them the long-term study skills, which they'll need from September. And then we talk about specific revision techniques and how your child can pick and choose the revision techniques that are going to be most effective for them, and how they can be constantly reviewing them as they go through. That's very popular, that six-week coaching package. I also offer the opportunity to work with me for a whole academic year. And that's for students who just need that kind of extra boost and support to get them through the year. And it's very popular with people who maybe suggest things to their children and the children completely ignore their parents, which I think is quite common with teenagers. And lots of my clients, the parents say, well, I want my child to work with you because my child listens to you and does what you say straight away, rather than when I've told them five times, they're still ignoring the advice that I'm giving. So that's really helpful in that way. But it's also helpful, I've found, particularly with students who have further problems that are maybe a barrier to their learning. So maybe there's some kind of emotional upheaval in your family, or there's a long-term history of your child not really believing in themselves and their ability, or even if there's some kind of learning difficulty which decreases their confidence. So most of the students that signed up with me to work with me for a full year have had some kind of extra reason that they need that extra support over and above just being taught actually how to study. Okay, the final thing I want to talk to you about, and this is brand new for September 2017, and I'm really, really excited about it. It's a new 8-week course that I've put together for students and parents to do together, and it's called the Exam Success Formula. And the idea for this really came out of the Facebook group and listening to parents as we went through exam season in 2017, and the kind of frustrations and the worries and all that kind of thing that parents have when it comes to exams and supporting their children through exams. So basically, this course is going to be taking your child as a student through all the things they need to know to help them to study successfully throughout the school year, from September right up to exams at the end of the school year. But it's going to be complemented by lessons for you as a parent in how to best support them with each of those different areas that we're going to cover in the 8 weeks. So the course is going to cover things like motivation, and it's going to cover self-belief, organisation, how to choose specific revision strategies and assess whether they're working, and all those kind of things. So all that kind of stuff will be aimed at the students, but will also be informative for the parents, but there'll also be an extra layer of stuff for parents so that they can fully understand how to best help their child to succeed. And a lot of it's going to be about opening up communication channels between parents and students, so that parents fully understand what the students need from them, and students are able to come to parents when they need them and say exactly what it is that they need help with. Because listening to parents, that's the thing that I think has held back parents most of all, is that knowing how to communicate with their sometimes quite stressed and difficult teenager during exam season. So I really want this course to kind of step in and be that kind of vehicle that opens up that dialogue between parents and students so that they're able to work really effectively together. So the course is going to start on Saturday the 16th of September 2017. That's the day when the first weekly email with the lesson for that week goes out, and I'll be recruiting people to take part in that course up until the evening before, so Friday the 15th of September. When you join the course, you will be sent an initial email which is all about how to get your kind of planning systems into place, or your child's planning systems into place for the beginning of the school year. And then we'll start in week one of the course on the 16th of September on motivation. If you're interested in that course and you think that's the kind of thing that you need in your family, then come to my website and you will find the exam success formula. If you click on the Work With Me tab in the main menu and then go to the study skills, you'll be taken to the web page for this, and you can read all about it and decide if you'd like to sign up. If you're reading this after the 15th of September 2017 and you think it sounds like a really good idea but you've missed the opportunity, if you go to that sign up at the information page all about this course, there will be a place where you can leave your email address to be notified when the course next opens for enrolment. So please go over and check out the information page, and if you've got any questions about it, then email me, and my email address is lucy@lifemoreextraordinary.com. that's lucy@lifemoreextraordinary.com. Well, all it remains for me to say today is thank you so much for listening. I really, really hope you have enjoyed and found it interesting and informative to listen to the shape of the school year, what you can expect and how you can plan family life around that. As I said before, if you've got any comments or questions about any of the things that I've said in this episode, then please leave a comment on the blog post that goes with this podcast episode, tweet me at Lucy C. Parsons, or come over and leave your thoughts in the Supportive Parents Successful Students Facebook community. You will have to request to join that community. I don't just let anybody in because I don't want random people kind of destroying the kind of dynamic of the group. So I will accept you to join, and then you can ask questions and make comments and all that kind of thing as much as you like. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. Take care and goodbye.